All right, so we are beginning Unit 2 of The Obedience of Faith. And Unit 2 is Willing Obedience, God's Intent for Mankind. Now, maybe you haven't thought that God's design and purpose and intent for mankind was willing obedience from the heart, but that's what God has always desired. Obedience from the heart because we understand who God is and that He deserves our obedience as the creator of the whole universe and the author of our life. But God still gives us free will. We have free will to obey Him, and we have free will to not obey Him. And so God desires that we use that free will to obey Him, but He doesn't take our free will away from us. And He's suffered the consequences of a lot of people over many, many centuries not worshiping Him and not obeying Him, but even so, He does not take away free will. Hallelujah. So the opening verse, the opening scripture for this unit is Romans 6:17. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. So we're going to go through several different classes to show you the progression through the history of mankind and into the New Testament and how the New Covenant makes us obedient from the heart because the Holy Spirit works within us to will and to work according to God's will and God's purpose and what is pleasing to God. So we're going to get there, but we're going to open up with point A, which is willing obedience to the Creator. Let's just lay some foundation here. God is the Creator of the universe and everything in it. God is the Creator. He is worthy of our worship because He is the Creator of all. So let's look at some scriptures that back this up. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Boom. God created everything. Psalm 33, starting with verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. So there it is. Worship God because He created even you, and He created everything else. If you have ever looked at creation, whether it's looking out over the ocean, looking out over the mountains, looking out over a beautiful valley or field, good night. God is amazing. Creation is amazing. What God has designed and created, He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our reverence. He is worthy of our obedience. But let's keep going. Isaiah 45:18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, He is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. So God is saying, I created it. There's nobody else. Nobody else did what I did. Nobody else created all things. God is the one who formed it, made it, established it, and He created it to be inhabited by the creatures that He has made and designed, including mankind and all of the other animals that He also designed. Isaiah 40, starting with verse 25, to whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, he's talking about the stars, calling them by name, by the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. So He's saying, I created the heavens and the earth. Everything in all creation and all the galaxies was created by God. And finally, John 1:3, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So there is nothing created that God did not make. Boom. There you have it. God, I think he's worthy of some respect because he made a lot of stuff and it still works and functions all these years later. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. All right. But God didn't just create it and wind it up and set it to run on its own. Some people believe that. That's called deism. That is not what the Bible teaches. We're going to break this down with some verses about that. God continues to sustain all the things that he created. So let's create a contrast. We're going to look particularly at Psalm 104. Psalm 104 verse 5 says, he set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. So yes, you're saying, okay, that doesn't show that he's sustaining it. Right. That's past tense reflection on God's original creation. Original creation. So that's past tense. But we're going to go on in Psalm 104. We're going to jump to verse 10. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. So that's present tense. He is currently causing waters to run, the springs to run. And he currently has sovereign authority to make those same springs stop if he wants them to. Verse 11, they give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. So that's present tense that God is still looking out for his creation by causing waters to run. Verse 13, from your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth. So God is the one who allows grass to grow, who allows plants to grow, who brings them forth so that man and beast doesn't starve to death. God is still sustaining all of creation, all the creation that he created. He created it, past tense, but he still sustains it, current tense, present tense. Verse 15, and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. Man is sustained by God giving growth to the food and the crops of the field. Without God doing that, all of humanity would starve. So Psalm 104, we'll jump to verse 19. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it is night when all the beasts of the forest creep about. So God made the moon. He made it once, past tense. But God can make it dark anytime he wants. And let's look at some scriptures that talk about that. So during the Passover story, when Moses continually went before Pharaoh saying, let my people go, let my people go, one of the plagues that happened in that whole exchange was that God, through Moses, caused darkness to be over the land for 3 days. 3 days. 3 days when the sun should have been up in the sky bringing light to Egypt. For 3 days, Egypt was dark because God ordained it to be dark because God has sovereign power to do that. This is Exodus 10, starting with verse 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness that can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the people of Israel had light where they lived. So this is one of those plagues where God made a distinction between those who were his and those who were not. The people of Israel lived in the land of Goshen. When there was darkness over all the land of Egypt and they couldn't even see one another, the people of Israel in the land of Goshen, which was a part of the land of Egypt, the people of Israel, God's people, they had light. Now, only the sovereign creator is able to make it dark in one place and light in another. So dark that they can't even see each other and totally light in another place that's in the same country, that's in the same region. Only God is able to do that. But there's another instance in the Bible that talks about this. We're going to look at the crucifixion of Jesus. When Jesus was crucified and being crucified on the cross, guess what? There was darkness over the whole land for 3 hours. 3 hours. Now, if that's not a sign, if you're not paying attention, like, wait, huh, it's noon. It's noon. It's the afternoon. The sun is supposed to be in the sky, but instead it's pitch black. Maybe we shouldn't be crucifying this guy. Anyway, that's just my own little commentary. Let's look at Mark 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So that's from noon to 3 o'clock. Or those of you in the nations who are on 24-hour time, that's from 12 to 15. So it's the middle of the day. The sun is at its peak. But instead, when Jesus is on the cross, it's dark because the sovereign creator over all of the world and all creation has power to make it dark whenever he wants. He has power over light and he has power over dark. So you get the picture that God has sovereign control over all the elements of creation. Why? Because he created it. Now, going back to Psalm 104, we'll pick up at verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. So you see, he made all of the creatures, but now all of those same creatures look to him for their sustenance. Without him, they have no food. And this is an ongoing present tense thing. We're at verse 28. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. So you see, God is still actively, sovereignly in control of opening his hand with blessing and abundance, or closing his hand, turning his face away, and then creation dies or suffers for it. The verse goes on, when you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. So you're starting to see it's both that God created it and an ongoing current tense that he still cares for it. And so Psalm 104, it closes out with, may my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. That's how Psalm 104 ends. That was verse 34 and 35. So because God created all things and sustains all things, we should praise him. We should bless him. We should make the meditations of our minds and our hearts things that are pleasing to him because he's sovereign over all creation. But let's look at another person who responded in awe and wonder of the majesty of God as the creator of the universe. Now, I highly recommend that you go back after this class and read through the book of Job, chapter 38 through 42. God gives such a description of his sovereign rule over all creation. We're not going to go in depth into it now because that's not the point of this class or this course, but it's awesome. It's awesome. And so what we're going to look at is Job's response to when God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind and basically says to him, who do you think you are? Did you create anything? Did you create any of these animals? Do you know when the mountain goat gives birth? Do you know any of these elements of creation? Do you know when the stars are fixed in the sky? God just makes it so clear that Job is speaking about things that he doesn't understand. And God is the one who is in charge of all of creation. Well, this is Job's response to what God had said to him in chapters 38 and 39. This is Job 40, starting with verse 1. And the Lord said to Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer. Twice, but I will proceed no further. Job basically said, don't worry, God, I'm shutting up now. I'm putting my hand on my mouth. I'm an idiot. I shouldn't have said anything in the beginning. Didn't understand how awesome and great you are. Now I get it. Please put my hand on my mouth. Not talking anymore. Spoke once, spoke twice. Done. Done. Nothing more to say. Nope. Quiet. Look at me zipping my lip. Not saying anything else. That was Job's response to the majesty of God. Well, then God proceeds in chapter 40 and 41 to describe how he has authority even over the greatest, mightiest beasts of the land and the sea, Behemoth, the beast of the land, and Leviathan, the beast of the sea. And God, they're like his backyard dog. He can tame them however he wants. They report to him under his sovereignty. God remains in control of all creation, no matter how powerful and mighty it may seem to mankind or in this earth. And so Job has another response. This is now Job 42, starting with verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Okay, so Job went from putting my hand on my mouth, zipping my lip, I'm shutting up now, to, okay, I just need to get on my face and repent. I'm just dust. I came from the dust. I'm returning to the dust. I shouldn't have ever said anything. I now understand. I used to just hear about you. Now I've seen it for myself. You are God. There is no other. You know all things. Nothing you purpose can be thwarted. I now repent before you. I lay myself out before you. I despise myself and I glorify you alone. That was Job responding correctly to the awe and wonder and majesty of God as the creator. And the point of all of these examples is that God is the creator and the sustainer, and therefore he is worthy of all our worship and our praise. Let's take this all the way into the book of Revelation. We'll look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. See, that's one of the songs we're going to be singing in heaven and in the world to come for the rest of time, for all eternity. Worthy are you, O Lord our God. Worthy are you, for you created all things. Worthy are you. So if you don't like singing that song now, you're going to be really bored in the world to come, because we're going to be praising God and rejoicing in his goodness and his power and his sovereign control over all things for the rest of eternity. So from what we just went through, it would seem obvious that all of mankind should be worshiping God the Creator all the time, in awe and reverence of who he is and all he has done. But is that how it's gone? Well, no. Nope. Because mankind, using that free will that God created them with, that God gave to them as a gift, well, mankind uses that free will to rebel against God. That's how it goes. So let's look at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve existed in God's perfect creation, and God gave them authority to rule over it. Their job was to tend and keep the earth that God had created. Now, everything was created to multiply after its kind. And you can learn more about that in our course called God's Economics. Everything God created, multiply, 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 multiply. So Adam and Eve's other job was for them to be fruitful and multiply, because they had to multiply the number of people that were going to be eating all the food that God created to multiply after its kind. God is a God of tremendous abundance. He is generous. He is not stingy at all. So their job was to tend and keep all of this multiplication that God had created on the earth. And their job was to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with people who would enjoy all that God had created for them to delight themselves in. And their job was also to subjugate anything that raised itself against God's prescribed order and God's supreme authority over all creation as the creator. Their job was to subjugate it, put it under control, because they were the ones delegated with authority from God to rule over the creation that God had created. Now, there was no law yet. I'm bringing that up because we're going to look at various aspects of obedience. Remember, this This is Unit 2, willing obedience. That's God's design. Now, the law is obedience to a written code, but there was no written code in the Garden of Eden. There was no law yet. There will be as we go through this unit some more, but right now there's no law, there's no rules. It was God's design and intent for mankind that we should obey his voice. Obey his voice. If we really understand that he is sovereign creator and ruler of all, then he shouldn't have to write it down for us to obey him. We should just obey his voice because of who he is. That was his original design. However, there was only one requirement. It's not a law, but it's a requirement. And there's a consequence attached to if you do not meet this requirement. And that is in Genesis 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's it. No law, no rules, one rule, one requirement. Don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you're going to die. God, sovereign creator over all things, gives you one thing to do. Adam and Eve, they should have understood. They should have understood. Okay, God, he's good. He created this whole world for us, and he told us not to do this one thing. But did they obey God? No, they did not. What is the name of this course? The obedience of faith. So that shows that Adam and Eve did not have the faith to believe that God's way was best. They didn't have the faith to believe in obeying God. And so they disobeyed. They disobeyed God, and instead they obeyed something that God had created. They obeyed the serpent. And we're going to talk about that in the next class, going from worshiping God to worshiping something that God created. That's Romans 1. We're going to talk about that in the next class. They worshiped and obeyed something that God had created rather than worshiping, believing, and obeying God himself as the creator. Now, if Adam and Eve had obeyed God, they would still be alive in the world today, eating from the tree of life in perfect fellowship with God. That's how it would have gone if they had obeyed him. But because they disobeyed God, they lost their direct access to God. They were banished from the Garden of Eden and the presence of God. And because they disobeyed God, they lost the opportunity for eternal life. They lost access to the tree of life, and they would surely die. And because they disobeyed, all of their descendants also would be enslaved to the serpent that they had subjected themselves to. Remember, they were supposed to subjugate anything that raised itself up against God, but instead they subjugated themselves under something that God created, under the power of the serpent. And now all of their descendants were also enslaved to the serpent and enslaved to the fear of death, because 100% of people will ultimately die. That's Hebrews 2:15. You can see that we've been subjected to a lifelong slavery to the fear of death and also to sin and the ways of the evil one. But note here, in the goodness of God, God did not annihilate Adam and Eve. He didn't just wipe them off the face of the planet and say, well, I'm going to start again because you rebelled and you didn't obey me. No, God gave humans free will. Adam and Eve used their free will that God had given them. He didn't just strike them with lightning and disregard them and chuck them out and start again with making a new man out of dust and breathing life into him. No, instead, God turned them over to the consequences of their own choice. God turned them over to their own choice to deal with the consequences of using their own free will in rebellion against him. Well, let's take a look at how that went. Well, first of all, their firstborn son, Cain, killed their secondborn son, Abel. Well, that's pretty miserable. Nobody wants that. That's just terrible. Now sin is in humans' existence. Now Cain is showing himself to be a son of the serpent rather than a son of God. Abel is righteous and Cain kills him. This isn't going so well. Well, then their descendants filled the whole world. They were supposed to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the world with humans who could enjoy the goodness of God. But instead, their descendants filled the world with violence, wickedness, and rebellion. rebellion against God, until God had to send a flood to destroy everything living that he had created, except for a remnant that he preserved on the ark that Noah built. So you can see the recap of that through Genesis 4 through 6, how humanity declined in rebellion against God until God had to hit the reset button and send the flood. So humanity had a second chance. Well, then, after this second chance that God had given to humanity through the line of Noah and his sons who were on the ark with him and the remnant of all of the creatures that were with him, well, then only a few generations later, all the peoples of the nations gathered together to make a name for themselves in rebellion against God and not make a name for God, not honor him as creator, not worship him, not obey him. This was absolute rebellion against God. This was the Tower of Babel. And you can see this decline and also this building structure in Genesis 9 through 11. Those are the chapters 9 through 11. And so humanity, they're now trying to build a tower to access heaven's power without God so that they can make a name and a world for themselves without God's involvement or control. This is the ultimate smack in the face to the very God who created them and created all things. So the consequences of Adam and Eve's disobedience and being turned over to their own desire to be God rather than submit to God or obey God, was that the world became a world of chaos in rebellion against God. That was the consequence of Adam and Eve not worshiping God as the creator. And look at the results of what happened in all the earth.